Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Moving along in our study through Paul's epistle to the Galatians, we come in chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 today to the big question, why did God give the law? What purpose did it serve? Paul has made abundantly clear that justification before God is obtained entirely by faith in Christ and not in any manner by the works of the law. Everyone who has been declared righteous before God, whether Jew or Gentile, has done so through faith in Christ, not by observing the law. Galatians, Paul is saying, even though you have been hoodwinked about this, you have to admit that you received the Holy Spirit through the hearing of faith, not by the works of the law. You want chapter and verse? Genesis 15:6 says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Furthermore, the law imposes a curse upon everyone who does not keep it perfectly, which is everyone. Why else did Christ die except to redeem us from the curse of the law? Do you think for a minute that the law, which was given centuries later, can alter God's original promise to Abraham of righteousness by faith? No. Galatians, you are going to have to choose. You are going to have to decide whether justification is by the law or by promise, by the works of faith, grace, or by merit. Well, if it is by faith, if it is by grace, if it is by promise, which obviously it is, then the question naturally arises, well, why then did God give the law? What purpose does it serve if God did not give it as a means to obtain righteousness? And so we read in Galatians 3:19, what purpose then does the law serve? That's the question, isn't it? What purpose then does the law serve? Paul goes on to answer the question when he says, it was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate from one only, but God is one. Okay, why God gave the law? Four important items. Number one, it was added. The question, of course, is added to what? But Paul tells us here that the law was added. What purpose then does the law serve? It, that is the law, was added. Well, what was it added to? Was it added to the promise that God made with Abraham? That seems to be what the Judaizers are saying. Yes, God promised justification to Abraham by faith, and God pronounced Abraham righteous when he believed, but God gave the law to Moses, and that was added to the promise that God gave to Abraham. And so they said, yes, this law was added to God's promise with Abraham. Until the law came, maybe it could be said that righteousness was by faith alone. But once the law came along, it became clear that righteousness is by faith plus works, faith plus the law. Thus said the Judaizers, the false teachers of Paul's day. Thus, apparently, the first century Jews, all of them, not just the Judaizers, who, were, of course, were the teachers spreading this law, this error, but also, apparently, the Jews of Christ's day, which is why they had so much difficulty coming to faith in Christ. I think Saul of Tarsus, before his conversion, would have said, yes, the law was added to the promise God made with Abraham, but the correct answer is not yes, but no. It was added, but what was it added to? To the promise that God made with Abraham? No. Well, what was it added to? Was it added to a particular human need? In other words, was the law added to promise, or was the law added to people? That's the question, and this helps us with the answer. What purpose then, back to Galatians 3:19, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions. Romans 5:20 says added means literally came in by a side road. The main road is the covenant, the promise that God made to Abraham. A promise that is inviolable, irrevocable, unconditional. The law is not something additional to the promise that God made to Abraham, but it is like a side road which is constructed to carry extra traffic, not to lead to a different destination, but to come back to the main road. Think of a bypass. When a main road is under construction, sometimes, often, in fact always, I guess, a bypass will either be constructed, if it's a small construction, they might actually make a little road, sometimes a little gravel road that'll get you around the construction project until the project is completed, and then, of course, the gravel road is removed. Or sometimes they will, they being, of course, the people who are working on this, the Department of Transportation authorities or whatever, sometimes they will direct you off the main road at an exit onto some secondary road. You travel that road for a while, but, of course, you're always going to get back to the main road. Now, that's the way the law needs to be understood. The law is not something added to promise so that now you have salvation by faith plus salvation by works. It was added because of transgressions, that is the sins of people, because they needed something to help them understand the meaning of and the centrality of the original promise, which was received by faith. Men's sins made it difficult for them to understand their need of Christ. And so the law was added in order to reinforce that need. That's what Paul is saying. It was added, yes. But he also tells us, number two, that it was temporary. It was added, but it wasn't permanent. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till, or until, the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was temporary. It had a beginning point. It had an ending point. When was it added? Sinai. When God gave the law to Moses at Sinai. That's the law he's talking about here, of course. And it was added at Sinai, which he already told us was centuries after God made the promise to Abraham by faith. But it not only has a beginning point, it also has a termination point. It was made, it was added, rather, because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. You remember that the promise which God made to Abraham was not made to Abraham alone. It was made to Abraham and to his seed, and that seed is Christ. Remember that? Paul has already told us that. So the promise was made to Abraham and to Christ. All right, the law was added some 100 years after God made the promise to Abraham and Christ, and it started at Sinai, but it concludes with the coming of Christ, with the coming of the seed to whom the promise was made. Now, that does not mean that the principle of law altogether began at Sinai and ends at the cross. Some have taken it that way. Christ has come. There's no more law. There's no more instruction. There's no more commandment. There's no more requirements. God doesn't care how we live now. He only cared how people lived between Sinai and the cross. That's nonsense. But it does mean that the law of Moses had a specific beginning as well as a specific ending, and everybody needs to recognize that. The written code of the law, as given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai, had a beginning, and it had an ending, a conclusion. The new covenant, ratified by Christ with his blood, fulfilled the covenant of the promise made with Abraham, and at the same time canceled the covenant of the works God made with Moses on Sinai. Are you listening to me? The theological implications of that statement are weighty. That's why I will make it again. The new covenant, ratified by Christ with his blood, fulfilled the covenant of the promise made with Abraham, and at the same time canceled the covenant of works that God made with Moses on Sinai. That's what this text is telling us. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And so we're learning four things about the law. Number one, it was added. Number two, it was temporary. Number three, it was utilitarian. It had a practical purpose. Actually, two practical purposes. One, in relationship to sin. And number two, in relationship to Christ. But it was utilitarian. First of all, in relationship to sin. Again, Galatians 3:19, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions. Because of transgressions. The New English Bible says, it was added to make wrongdoing a legal offense. It was added to make wrongdoing a legal offense. Not that doing wrong was not sin before Sinai, but if there was no codified law to make it a legal offense, it didn't seem quite as serious, perhaps, at least in the minds of men. But once God codified it into a law, then every transgression becomes a legal offense, a serious violation of the law of God. In other words, it magnifies sin. It makes sin seem more sinful. It makes sin seem more serious. It defines sin more carefully. It clarifies what it is that is sin before God. And so, this law was added not to modify the promise that God made to Abraham and to his seed, but to demonstrate the value of the promise, the need for the promise. That was the purpose. Because until you feel the weight of your sin, you will not seek a refuge in Christ. Salvation is not only escape from hell. It is not simply a matter of asking Jesus into your heart, but you must feel the guilt and corruption of sin, which results in repentance and faith. It's not enough to say, I want to be saved so that I won't go to hell. We must say, I need to be saved because of my sin. And before we say that, we've got to feel the weight of our sin. We've got to feel how sinful it is. And that's the reason the law was given, to add weight to our sins, to make us feel that weight so that it would drive us to Christ. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.